Today we have a presentation on working step one. I will turn the time over to Colleen for the presentation.
Hi, I'm Colleen, recovering COSA.
Hi, Colleen.
So it's my understanding from talking to Claudia and the feedback that she got last week that you'd like to have more information on how to work the steps. And so for me, the only way to do that is just to explain my own personal experience in working step one. So that's what I'm going to do right now. Feel free to ask me questions at any time or interrupt, and I'll just take it through, and it'll probably be a stream of consciousness, and I'll probably be all over the place. But I do have some notes, so hopefully that will keep me on task for the most part. So let me first offer the, I don't know, maybe it's a caveat. I did not have a sponsor when I worked step one. I worked step one on my own, and it took me a number of months to start it. After entering the program, and then working it was difficult for me. I had a hard time sitting down and going through the booklet. I did use the COSA literature, and I liked what the literature had to say, very much liked it. So it was a really good process for me. However, I didn't want to sit down and work the questions. And I remember at a meeting, someone had told me just to break it down. And when it seemed overwhelming, as step one did seem to me, both just, I guess, at a theoretical level, admitting my powerlessness and admitting that my life had become unmanageable was overwhelming. And then looking at how many questions were in the booklet and the work that was ahead of me also was overwhelming. So the first thing I did, though, was to read and reread the COSA literature. I would often find that as I started working the questions, I didn't remember exactly what I was doing and what I was admitting in step one. I could read what step one said, that we admitted that we were powerless over compulsive sexual behavior and that our lives had become unmanageable, but it wasn't practical enough for me. I needed the experiences of others. So I remember distinctly just going back and rereading the booklet over and over again. Whenever I would just get bogged down in a question and think, okay, what is this all about again? And then I would read something and I underline it and I just really relate to it and I think, aha, okay, now I remember. And that would help me get going. If I got overwhelmed or if I got stuck, that was really helpful. And if we have time later, I'll start talking about some of the things that I underlined and that resonated with me. But right now, I'll just stick to the process. So anyway, that was really helpful for me. And then any other step one literature that you might have, whether it's from a different program or not, I know Claudia had passed out this resources list at the last meeting. And so you see there are resources in here that are outside of COSA, and I have one right here. I didn't have this at the time I was working step one, and so I just worked off of the COSA literature, but now I have the daily reader from, it's actually from the Al-Anon program, The Courage to Change, which I love, and my sponsor gave me this. So I look through this. There's an index in the back, and it has the different steps, and so in preparing tonight, I went through and I read all the passages on the first step. And I do that now as I'm working the steps too, whatever step I'm on. Oh, okay, let me go through and see if any of these passages resonate with me. And that can really help me focus on what it is I'm doing when I'm working the steps. And not every passage resonates with me. Obviously, there are some things that just don't seem applicable to my situation, but then I find just the perfect passage that is so me, and it's so what I'm going through. It's so step one for me. And as I'm now revisiting step one as we do the step study, I'm realizing that I've been at this current place in my life just stuck in the obsession aspect of it and how powerless I am over that. So I went back and just found a passage in here on obsession. I was like, oh, okay, that, you know, that's what I'm going through right now. And for me, that's what I'm struggling with on step one as I revisit it now. So I think other resources are great as well. Then what I did at some point in the process is that I needed to define for myself what the characteristics of my co-addiction were. How was I a co-sex addict or a co-sexual codependent? However, you know, whatever term you want to use. But I had to look at why I was in recovery. What am I in recovery for? I think it's easier when we look at our sex addicts and say, okay, well, we know what they're in recovery for. But it's a more amorphous concept when we look at ourselves, you know, at least for me it is, when I look at my experience, what exactly am I in recovery for? And all right, for me there's this huge codependence aspect of it, but of course it's more narrowly tailored in the sense that it's my codependency in relation to a sex addict. And so what does that look like for me? Even if I state it like that, that's still, I mean, what does that mean really? And how am I going to admit that I'm powerless over the sex addict, and that my life as a co-sex addict or as a co-sexual codependent has become unmanageable, if I don't even know what that really means for me to be these things. And so the questions themselves help with that. But I just found myself, and I just write all over the place. if you look at my booklet from when I worked the step. I mean, here's some of what I wrote. But then I just started writing, okay, my co-addiction. I was just writing things down. What does my co-addiction look like? And then also the faulty core beliefs that were associated with those characteristics. So these are just some of the things I wrote down at that point in time. Smothering, jealous, crazy, desperate, threats, games, annoyance, irritation, fantasy, need for approval, need to control, self-sabotage. Then I went further and looked, okay, well, what's the faulty core belief under the self-sabotage? That I don't deserve to have fun or experience joy, or that I don't have the right to, that fun is bad or shameful. Also that I am unworthy, another core belief. I also identify fear of intimacy and vulnerability. So I just started writing things down. What does it mean for me? So that then I could more fully understand, how has my life become unmanageable? And how is it that I am powerless? How does that manifest itself in my life? I have to make it as practical as possible for me. I've got to be able to break it down. And that's how I did it. And then I wrote down, at some point, it's just a matter of, this is the Nike slogan, you know, just do it. And that is one of the many benefits of coming to the STEP study, is there's a structure to it. So hopefully it, to a large extent, you know, eliminates the problem that I have had of just not wanting to sit down and do it. So breaking it down into small chunks is what I ultimately did, and what had been suggested to me at a meeting by another member, just to break it down, just answer a few questions each night, anything that would get me working on it. I had to make it manageable, and I didn't want to get overwhelmed, and so breaking it down helped me do that. And then I wrote, for me, it really comes down to, in the end, this narrative that's on page 20, which would be homework on week four in this step study. But this is where I had to dig deep. And I spent a lot of time on it, and I didn't scribble notes all over for that. I actually used a word processor and wrote this part out. But as you can see, I still did write a lot of notes. I guess you can't see that in Tucson. But anyway, the narrative for me was where I needed to dig deep, but also take my time. And so I realized this flies in the face of what the study is doing. But I've got to tell you from my experience, I don't think you can rush any of the steps. And I think that this format is great for providing the vehicle to work the steps and addresses some of the problems I've mentioned about things being overwhelming or seeming unmanageable, and of course having the networking and the resources available. But I know for myself that I can't rush through the working of the steps. That defeats the purpose of it for me. And it's a process. So I have to take my time and just trust that it's all going to fall into place when it's supposed to. Now, with that being said, again, it's the Nike slogan. At some point, you have to just do it. But this is a big task. And I have found in subsequent steps as well that I've not been able to rush it. I can't rush any of the steps that I've done so far. And I think being thorough is ultimately to my advantage, has been, because I can honestly say that I've really worked the steps that I've done. I've put my heart and soul into them, and it has been a process. So I bite off a little bit at a time, and I do it, and it ultimately gets done, but it is a process for me. And the narrative was an example of that. That was something that I would not want to have rushed. I really wanted to dig deep, look into my upbringing, and understand what the core of my addiction was. Where did this come from? So for me, the narrative is the culmination of step one, and it allowed me to fully see that this is about me. It's not about the sex addict. I have no power over the sex addict. And while, in my opinion, I'm also powerless over my thoughts and my feelings, I am not powerless over my actions. And so when I write the narrative, I see how I developed these faulty core beliefs that I have and how I've developed these characteristics of co-addiction. But I have power over my actions and behaviors. So that imparts a huge amount of power in me. So while I have this component of step one where I'm admitting that I'm powerless and my life has become unmanageable, ultimately step one gives me a lot of hope because I realize what I can do, and the focus is on me. I take the focus off the sex addict, and I've been struggling with this again, and this is related to the obsession for me, where I am right now. I was thinking last week when we came here, wow, this is what I'm doing. I'm so in the step one place. I have been focusing on my husband again. I've been back in that place where it's, well, he's done this, and just obsessing about what is he doing right now, or what has he done, and feeling so out of control. And step one helps me bring it back to myself. The focus is on me. That's the only thing I can control. And so that gives me a lot of power ultimately. So I'm focusing on me. I'm focusing on my recovery. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Did we lose him?
They're here. Tucson, we are recording.
Okay. So what this has reminded me is that focusing on my husband does me no good whatsoever. No good. I know through step one that I'm powerless over what he does or what he doesn't do, what he thinks. But my recovery lies in focusing on me. And I forget that. It's amazing how fast I forget that. And so I'm back in that place, And it's great, and it just shows that all this is happening for a reason, and I'm now back here on step one, having that realization again. And I spoke of this last week about how I don't just work step one, installation, and then move on and do step two, step three, and step four. And that's as far as I've gotten so far. I'm currently on step five. But I don't just work those steps in isolation, and then I'm done. And, oh, well, then I can think about going back to step one once I've worked all 12 steps, and I'll start again. In my experience, it hasn't worked that way at all. I haven't come back to step one enough, so I'm glad I'm doing it now and realizing how important it is to revisit it. But steps two and three, I'm there a lot revisiting those, especially step three. I mean, I do that on a daily basis. But it's a good reminder for me that I, you know, step one, I'm at that place again, and I've got to go back there, even though I've worked it. I'm forgetting that I'm powerless. I'm forgetting I don't have control. I'm focusing on my husband. So I admit that powerlessness again. I look at those characteristics again right now, how they're manifesting themselves in my life, and I put that focus back on me and what I need to do. So after that point in my process, do we need to let him go in a couple minutes? Okay. Okay, so then what I do next after I'm done with the narrative, or what I did, is present the step. And I think this is a big component, too, and one not to be overlooked, because when I'm presenting the step, for me, not only am I then sharing my experience, strength, and hope with others in the hopes that it'll somehow touch their lives, but it's an exercise in vulnerability. And that is another characteristic of my co-sex addiction. I mentioned that. I have it written down here, fear of intimacy and vulnerability. So when I share my steps, I'm opening up. I'm being vulnerable. I'm facing that fear. And then at the same time, it lessens my shame. And then someone will come up afterwards and say, well, I really needed to hear that. And here I'm thinking, like, that I'm just presenting the step for myself, and wow, okay, I'm not. I am presenting it for other people, too. Or someone will say, I went through that, too, and so then the shame is lessened. Okay, I'm not alone. Someone else does this or did this. And then as I've already addressed, the next thing I do is I revisit the step, which is what I'm doing now. So I surrender the control initially, but then I take it back. And each time that I come back and visit the step, there's new insights. I'm at a new place. And currently, that place for me is the obsession and realizing that. And I don't think I had written that down on my list here. No, I don't have obsessive. But now I see that that's where I'm at, and that's what step one is for me. So I guess we have to let you go now, Tucson. So we'll give you the homework for next week before we do that. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so the homework for next week will be to work questions 11 through 27, if you've numbered your questions, or pages 16 and 17. So pages 16 and 17 cover questions 11 through 27. So that will be for next week. Okay?
Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you, Tucson. I'll talk to you later, Sarah. Thanks, Tucson.
All right, see you. Good
night. Thank you, Colleen.
You're welcome.